Spectrum Business keeps real businesses, like Rise Bakery, connected.
As a business owner, my Spectrum services help simplify my day. Everything we do is easier knowing that we've got a reliable connection. And it helps our business just run really smoothly. Even though our techniques are very ancient, we rely just as heavily on technology. Spectrum allows my business to go from surviving to thriving.
Keep your business running smoothly with Spectrum Internet, starting at $40 a month. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
At the new Primary Care Plus at 1702 North Burnside Avenue here. Come see us. Love to meet you. They got food. They have lunch. They have donut. They got all kinds of stuff here. It's great. And you get to meet the staff and everything else. So come out and say hello. We are now joined by the Michael Heck. He comes to us from the capital, D.C., right? District of Columbia. He is the executive director of GNO Inc., president and CEO of GNO Inc. I just demoted you, Michael. Welcome to the show.
That would be wonderful, because with demotion comes, you know, fewer arrows in the back, kind of thing. But, yeah, I'm here from the nation's capital. It's stinking hot up here. It's like, you know, you come to a place like D.C. and New York when it's in the 90s, and you realize that we're actually pretty good at it. In Louisiana, you know, we've got air conditioning, we've got mint juleps. In these places, it gets above like 85 degrees and the candy bars start melting in the bodegas. You're like, guys, we have solutions for this. We have technology.
So tell us what's going on up there. I know you guys are visiting with Senator Kennedy, Senator Cassidy, Speaker Mike Johnson, and others, talking about a number of very important topics.
Yeah, so we're seeing basically everybody, like you said, the Speaker, Senators Cassidy and Kennedy, Congressman Scalise, Carter, Higgins, Letlow, really the whole team up here. We had a meeting with the White House talking about ports and waterway issues. We're here primarily with the World Trade Center, so we're focusing on a Louisiana International Terminal and tariffs and energy. But also having some side meetings. I mean, one thing that's become clear over the years, Noel, is that coming up to D.C. and having meetings face-to-face with the delegation, with members of the administration, is invaluable. Those 15 minutes that you get will just get you so much attention and access and understanding of your issues. So anybody who's getting into the policy and advocacy world, I really recommend getting that, you know, early morning flight up to D.C. and taking a couple of days and making the rounds. It's hectic, but it absolutely pays dividends in terms of getting your agenda across.
I got to imagine some angst, some anxiety about what's going on in the Middle East.
You know, it's so interesting. So you get up here, and you would assume that most of the discussions were going to be about the Middle East and Iran, because it's absolutely monumental what has happened. What the president decided to do was profoundly consequential, has really garnered praise from sources not only that you would expect, but even ones on the left like The Atlantic. But it reminds me of the famous line from Henry Kissinger, which is that every diplomatic victory is just a ticket to the next crisis. But what's interesting is that most of the discussions we've had here, particularly with Speaker Johnson and Majority Whip Scalise, have been about the big, beautiful bill, because that's really what they're trying to manage right now. And before the Iran crisis came up, that was going to be the signature achievement, potentially, of the second Trump administration. So we've actually spent more time talking about domestic issues and how the bill is going to get into the right form, how it's going to come back to the House from the Senate, than talking about what's been discovered and what's happening in the Middle East. Or although there've been a couple of whispers about what's happened in New York City, where folks have been taken aback by a 33-year-old with very little experience, self-described socialist who wants government-run grocery stores, beating Cuomo, the former governor, so clearly in the primary. But you know, that's probably a red wine discussion about the state of the Democratic Party right now.
Yes, that's going to be interesting, to say the least. Michael, what are they what are they saying about the self-imposed timeline deadline of July 4th? Obviously, is that still in place, or have they moved that back with the beautiful bill?
No, my understanding is that that is still in place, partially to create, you know, a sense of urgency. Partially, if we're being, you know, honest about this, I think the president, with his sense of theater, would like to announce this on the 4th of July. But everything that I've seen is that that deadline is still in place, and that folks are not going to be able to go home on vacation to see their family and loved ones until they get this taken care of. So, as of a dinner last night, the 4th of July is still the deadline.
Now, there's some factions within the Republican Party that are holding out on a number of issues, and Medicare, Medicaid seems to be a big sticking point.
Yeah, it's an incredibly complex bill. It is certainly the big bill. Beautiful is one adjective that's been used to describe it. It's incredibly ambitious.
Beauty lies in the eyes of the beholder, right?
It certainly does. And what you have is people like Senator Josh Hawley, who's been traditionally a very kind of to the right Republican, now coming out to defend, Medicaid, because it's important to his constituents. And so the job of John Thune, who is a very experienced politician, is to work this all together and, you know, kind of the same role that the speaker has on the House side, and be a good divorce lawyer, come to something that nobody absolutely loves, but that everybody can live with and get it done. And so it is a combination of carrots and sticks. And, you talk to these lawmakers, and it just feels like an exhausting process, because it's just this continual shuttle diplomacy between these different factions trying to increment people. And I was actually describing the other day. Do you know Zeno's paradox? Are you familiar with that? Are you big into Greek mythology and game? Okay, let me try to mansplain this for 2 seconds. So the myth of Zeno's paradox. Sorry, is that if you're going to run a race, you first have to run the first half of it, right? Then you've got to run half of the remaining distance. Then you got to run half of that remaining distance. So you can see through this logic, you're never going to actually finish the race. You're just going to asymptotically approach the finish line, but always have a half more to do. And I think a lot of times in legislation, it's like that. You never quite get there. But then, to mix metaphors, you get to the end and you do like the Philadelphia Eagles and you just do the tush push and just like get it over the goal line.
Part of the challenge, I should say, with Medicare and Medicaid, especially Medicaid, is that we've put ourselves in a position where any amount of change almost decimates state budgets. And, you know, the original plan, we didn't stick to it, obviously, and now we're upside down, and it will take 20 years to come out from under this. Because you could only make these changes in very small incremental steps. And
Correct.
There's just not a lot of patience in D.C., right? And, you know, so.
Yeah, and look, if you were kind of going to, you know, be having this discussion about a lot of the changes, and I'll try to say this objectively or just as an observer, is that so many of the changes that are being pushed forward are ones that almost everybody agrees on, whether it's issues of immigration or government efficiency and DOGE or entitlement reform. But then it seems that when the pace is taken too quickly, it boomerangs back. And certainly entitlement reform is one that you really have to do over time. I mean, if you think about a company going from a defined benefit to defined contribution, people who had defined benefit have it. And as long as they're working, you can't change that. So you can only change it for new people coming in. So it is a generational change. And trying to do it all at once disrupts all of these systems, however imperfect, that have been built up to optimize for the current rules. So we all need entitlement reform. I think that we can get there, but it absolutely has to be done in a way so that budgets and lives are not completely destroyed. Otherwise, we won't get it at all. We'll get total pushback regardless of political party.
Real businesses like Malibu Apothecary rely on Spectrum to keep them connected.
We're a fragrance company, but we also have a lot of technology that we use. Spectrum is really the backbone of any of the business we do here. Having a reliable, fast internet service that can fit my budget is really great. I traded a 9-to-5 for a 5-to-9. It's a lot of work, but I love it.
Spectrum Business Internet starts at $40 a month when bundled. Learn more at spectrum.com/business. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
Michael, let's pivot to a couple of issues. Two historic family-owned companies, change of ownership. Things are changing. This one, for me, you probably knew about it. Came out of nowhere. I happen to know the families in both of these companies, and it was a shocker.
Yeah, it's. I think both of them are. I think they're shocking, but not surprising. They're shocking because these were companies that have been such so synonymous with the local economy. So Canal Barge, close to 100 years old, Gallo Mechanical, founded in World War II, but privately held. And we're in a world today where in order for these companies to continue to compete, they need outside capital. And that's just the nature of things. And so you see Canal Barge being bought by a group out of Maryland called Redwood Holdings, that from what I can understand is a smart group with a lot of expertise in transportation. They have other companies like Marquette Transportation that they acquired last year. So the right acquirer, nothing like kind of the you know, stereotypical PE, you know, buy, strip, and flip type of approach, real owners. And Gallo is partially selling out to a Dallas private equity firm that's going to put funds in it and allow it to expand into things like data centers and such. So it makes perfect sense, and I'm thrilled for Merritt Lane and David Gallo, two of the most dedicated and high-class individuals that we know. I mean, that might be a small group, but they're outstanding individuals with great companies. The challenge that this represents is that the nature of the companies inevitably, you know, will change, and it says that we have to start producing or keep producing the companies that are going to be the Canal Barges and the Gallo Mechanicals of the next 50 or 100 years. So it's really important to support innovation, to support entrepreneurship, to create conditions, whether you're talking about tax policy or political environment or quality of life, where people want to take the chance and start a company, because over time companies are going to get purchased. They are, you know, some of them will cease to exist for other reasons, and that's fine and natural and healthy. In fact, as long as you have other new companies that are coming along the line and growing. So I guess I'd sum it up by saying it's bittersweet because it represents change and presents challenges of continuing to bring new companies online, but I'm thrilled for these companies. Merritt Lane is going to remain as CEO. James Gallo is going to remain in charge of his company, and so I think we're going to see just more growth and success from the new version of these companies that we're going to benefit from locally.
Yeah, we wish them both congratulations and best of luck. They have been great corporate partners for a long, long time in this city, right? I mean, they're one of the groups that doesn't say no. I mean, they're always there trying to make a difference in our city.
Yeah, they give time and treasure. And I know that both Merritt and David and their teams, we work with, you know, all the time, you know, Spencer and Augie and all of them, from the days of Katrina, they're the ones that when you walk into the room and you have to figure out how to get the city, the region, or the state out of a fix, they're going to be there with a sober analysis, put their shoulder, and they still are today. And so, all good wishes and congratulations to both of them.
Absolutely. Riverfront Park, Woldenburg, opens a new section. Tell us about it.
I'm incredibly excited about what's going on here. There is this plan underway to essentially connect from the end of Bywater down by the NSA, where we're now putting the new lab facility, all the way up through the new area where Governor Nichols' wharf has been torn down. So it's going to be a throughway with performance space over onto Moonwalk, over up to the riverfront, then down in front of the Four Seasons. And eventually, the vision is to connect up to Audubon Park, the Fly, and eventually to the Huey Peak. And when this is complete, we will have the longest continuous linear riverfront park in America. And it's as a quality of life element and as an economic catalyst, it's hard to measure how important it is. But I know just this Sunday morning, my wife and I, we live in Bywater now. We took our bikes out. We biked up to Spanish Plaza, then we took the ferry over to Algiers, rode around in Algiers, down to Gretna and back. And we're late as a community coming to the river. A lot of places got there 10, 20, 30 years ago, but now we're beginning to understand its importance as part of the fabric of the city, creating access, creating amenities. And Audubon, particularly under the new leadership of Mike Sawaya, has made this their top priority.
Absolutely. And it's very exciting. I mean, I enjoy that whole space, and most people do, and it offers the opportunity to have fairs, festivals, all kinds of gatherings up there that have been a huge success over the years. And the more space we have, the better off we're going to be.
And absolutely. So, yeah, so I love any of these. I mean, I got to say that I saw this for the first time when I was living in New York after 9/11. And there were spaces that were reclaimed and redeveloped, whether it's the High Line, which was an old rail line, or the west side of Manhattan, or the Brooklyn waterfront, or Governor's Island. They were reclaimed and turned into public amenities. And to watch the impact they've had on New York City in very direct ways. I mean, you can see the development around these amenities, and those developments are driving new tax revenues. I'm always excited when we start doing the same thing here, because it's going to make the region a better place to live, and it's going to create more more revenue to be reinvested for municipalities.
News in the Gulf of America, big oil goes deeper. What's happening there?
This is a piece we wanted to talk about because there's been so much focus on natural gas for good reason, and then on other forms of new energy, including nuclear. People can sometimes forget that the Gulf, which is really why we have our biggest players like Shell and Chevron and BP, is having a resurgence. They're going to expect 300,000 new barrels per day this year, another 250,000 in 2026. And what's interesting is that this has become happening not because of new discoveries necessarily, but because of better technology that's allowing them to basically be profitable with existing discoveries. And there's some other things going on. One of my favorite local E&P companies, LLOG, L-O-G, out of Chevron, they've got an asset that's in thousands of feet of water, where instead of building a totally new rig, they bought an old one from a company called Anadarko and just retrofitted it, which is not only less expensive, but it's better for the environment. So there's a lot of innovation that continues in the Gulf of Mexico. We're going to need oil and gas that comes from the Gulf for decades to come. And the more that they're there and the more that they're pushing the break-even price down, the better it's going to be for the entire region, because these big players and the regional ones are going to stay committed to the Gulf.
Yeah. Michael, one of the topics that you have here is about the Senate is considering a plan to modify the clean hydrogen production tax credit. How does that align with what happened in the Louisiana legislature this past session?
Well, it's all connected. Like they usually say, it's complicated. A lot of what was happening in the legislature this session was trying to allow companies to do carbon capture, allow them to run the pipelines to go into the wells to inject and store carbon. That's critical to the tens of billions of projects that are being announced around the state, like the Meta facility up in Richland, like the Hyundai facility in Ascension, because part of their deals is that they have to produce the data center services or the steel in a low carbon way. It's what customers are demanding. And so carbon capture is really the only way that can happen economically. You've got to use either natural gas and carbon capture or nuclear. What's happening at the federal level is that there's discussion within the Big Beautiful Bill about what's going to happen to 45Q, which is the credit for carbon capture, and 45V, which is the credit for green hydrogen. It's critically important that 45Q remain, because that, combined with the ability to do carbon capture in Louisiana, allows these projects, and we've announced already, I think, $65 billion worth of them to go forward. And then 45V on the green is more about the future, but there are a number of projects that are looking at making hydrogen by splitting water that are going to rely on that one. So even though these credits came out of the IRA and they were Biden-era bills, there are folks across the political spectrum who want to keep them because they've made millions, hundreds of millions of investment, in some cases billions, based on these credits. So we're fighting this on a couple of fronts, Noel, at the state and at the federal level.
And then real quick, with the minute or so that we have left, rewilding the wetlands. Everyone's familiar with the Maurepas Swamp, because every time that you travel to Baton Rouge, you cross it right before you get to the Bonnie Carrie Spillway, a $60 million grant to help, which is to help, I guess, rebuild that swamp or reunite that swamp with the Mississippi River. Is that what the story is?
Yeah, you know, for 80 years, almost as long as Canal Barge has been around, the Maurepas Swamp, which is a swamp right you're crossing, kind of right around the La Place area, has been cut off from the river, and so it's been starved. So it's been slowly dying. And so what this grant, which is part of close to a $500 million project, is going to reconnect Maurepas Swamp to the Mississippi River, and that's going to allow the fresh water to flow in, and that'll replenish the vegetation that makes that ecosystem thrive. So I'm excited for this because, you know, Mother Nature always wins. And so, you know, it took us 80 years, I guess, to admit that she was right. But now that we've admitted it, let's just get on with it and give the swamp back the nutrients it needs to survive and provide for, you know, not just the flora, but the fauna as well, the game, the fish, the birds.
Absolutely. We know you're busy. We really appreciate you taking time to join us today as you visit on some very important topics up in D.C. Stay cool, my friend, and thank you so much for joining us.
Thank you so much, Noel. Great to talk to you from D.C. I appreciate the time.
All right, that's Michael Heck, folks, president and CEO of GNO Inc. We are broadcasting live from Gonzales at the new Primary Care Plus at 1702 North Burnside Avenue. Come by, tell us hello, have lunch with us. There's a lot going on here. You get to meet the incredible staff, the incredible doctors, physicians that they have here as well. It's been a great morning thus far. So come out and say hello and spend a little time with us and have some lunch. We'll be right back. Stay with us.
Spectrum Business keeps real businesses like Rise Bakery connected.
As a business owner, my Spectrum services help simplify my day. Everything we do is easier knowing that we've got a reliable connection. And it helps our business just run really smoothly. Even though our techniques are very ancient, we rely just as heavily on technology. Spectrum allows my business to go from surviving to thriving.
Keep your business running smoothly with Spectrum Internet, starting at $40 a month. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.